Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Five of their best, which is where an artist chooses five of their best tracks that they've been involved with, features this week Papa D. Now, Papa D mixes dancehall, reggae, and pop. And I should explain that I'm in Greece, where the weather in February is pretty damn good. And Papa D is in Sweden, where it isn't. Now, stay tuned, because at the end of this episode, Papa D reveals what is his number one all-time favorite track. So Daniel, Papa D, welcome. Hey, look at this. I'm in Greece.
Yeah, and look at this. I'm in Sweden. I think this is unfair.
Oh, that makes me feel really good.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's not really horrible. Because we were getting into spring. It was like, no, the snow was disappearing. Ice was disappearing. And then suddenly yesterday, we're back. Ice age.
Well, the weird thing is behind me actually is the mount where the Acropolis is, but you haven't actually, I can't have a view of it. And But it's really cool. And it's brilliant to be here. Anyhow, we're here to talk about your top five songs. Well, I know it's a really difficult thing. How difficult was it to write down a top five, first of all?
I'm not a fan of lists. Everybody, you know, especially on social media and stuff, people are like, oh, the best 10 Bob Marley songs or five best albums. I think it's just from day to day. So these songs are just how I felt that particular day. And it's obviously some of my favorite songs, but it's I have a particular relationship to my songs. It's you know, different. It varies.
Okay, let's go through them. The first one that you put on your list is Respect Due.
That was one of the first songs that it's kind of personal. I mean, I come from the reggae thing. I come from kind of writing what we used to call reality lyrics. But a lot of the stuff from my first album is just bragging and boasting and being an MC and I'm the best and da 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 da, which is cool. And some reality stuff as well, how I felt. But this is very personal. It's about my mom. It's about single mothers. And I also enjoy the sound. It's a very UK sound. It's a kind of like, I think of Loose Ends and a lot of English stuff that I liked. So I thought it was a really cool UK sounding, kind of soulful, different from what I did before. And it was very personal. And I'm bigging up all the, you know, single mothers all over the world. So I think it's a nice track. I remember my manager at the time, my US manager came in and said, Papa, this track, you know, I love working with you, but it makes me feel I'm proud to be your manager. So that was cool.
I think they're only proud when they make a lot of money, aren't they?
Yeah.
So listen, I mean, it's about your mum.
You had a weak moment.
It's about your mum, and your mum was really key in the development of you and sort of discovering reggae music in London, wasn't she?
Yeah. I mean, Oh, I mean, she was fun. We used to go to London. It was the cheapest holiday. I live in Gothenburg, so we used to take the horrible ferry, and she used to buy cheap makeup. London was cheap in those days for us. The pound wasn't as strong, and you had a lot of stuff. So she bought some cheap makeup and clothes, and she took me because I was already interested in music when I was like 10, 11, 12. Me and my brother, she used to take us to cool places, and she would leave me at Daddy Cool's in Soho, and she'd go to Oxford Street, and I would be in there crate digging, and she would come back, and I was, "Can I have 3 7-inches, Mom, please?" That kind of a. No, she was great. She was also interested in music. She liked some of the music I listened to. She really liked "Under Miss Slangtang" by Wayne Smith, which is a funny selection for a mother. But she was at Dub Vendor in Lavender Hill, in London, when the track came out. "Under Miss Slangtang" is what it's the first digital track, and it was like a monster. I remember the sound system people and me and everybody said, "What is this? It's such a weird electronic track." And my mother loved it. Even when she was a bit senile, she used to go like, "Oh, can you play that Under Miss Slangtang? I love that." No, she was great. She was great. She liked music. She listened to a lot of her old stuff. She took me to my first concert, was not a cool Lee Perry or Bob Marley concert. It was Roger Whittaker. Wish I could have said, I want to say Bob Marley because that was early. I went to see Bob Marley 78, 79. But I had been to Roger Whittaker at least 3 times.
I don't think he ever toasted, did he?
No, it didn't. But it was funny because they did a reggae remake of one of his famous songs. Everybody's talking about a new day in the morning. So suddenly that was covered by, I think, Luciani. I was like, oh, full circle. My mum's record collection and now produced by Sly and Robbie and Luciano singing. That was funny.
So tell me about Count Machuki.
Count Machuki.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the original, one of the first MCs. In the beginning, MCs were before U Roy. He actually had a whole drum and bass dub version of a song, and he kind of filled the whole thing with lyrics, and just fragments of the song would come in and out, and he would be like, "Wow, baby." Count Machuki was one of the original in the ska days. He was more he was really an MC, more like in between the songs. I think they listened a lot to like radio from Miami, so they had all these like cool jive talking radio DJs, and so in between they would say like, "Oh, this one straight from the top to the very last drop. Here's a brand new one," So he's one of the first MCs.
How did he get his name? Do you know?
Count Machuki? No, I can't. No, do you
No,
know?
apparently he got his name from chewing matchsticks.
Oh, no, Machuki, really?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Oh,
So
that's
let's move
Machuki.
on. Let's move on to the second song, Island Rock. Now I'm not going to say it's the title of an album in 1988. Now I hope I got that right. But this was a hit in Sweden.
The history was that I did my pop album in 95, 96. I did first, the first cut is the deepest. And then this album and this song came out in 98. So after the pop album, it's not a great album, but it had hit singles, right? First Cut is the Deepest and Journey, and it had that Dennis Pop the 90s sound, and it did really well, and it was fine. But with this album, Island Rock, I kind of came back to my roots, but it was still commercial, so it felt really good. It's a really weird track to be, to be in the charts at the time. It's a sample from some old Calypso record. It's some ragga beats, and I'm chatting, and I'm just, it's just like a football, whoa, yeah, chorus. I think I wrote that in like 2 hours. But I think it's really cool because it's so original. It doesn't sound like anything else still. And if you look at the charts in 98, it's really a standout. And it's a fun track. People still love it. In Sweden, it's like a summer song. It comes back, or in Scandinavia, it's good.
Well, I saw a clip on YouTube of you performing in a club, and it's one of those songs that really works on stage because of the way the audience can react and join in to the song. So I presume it's one of your live standards in a way.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's like, it's an easy, you know, it's Neanderthal. Yes. It's not the most sophisticated song I've ever written, but it works and it's fun. Music should be fun. Sometimes you're like, oh, that's really, you know, that's a really clever song. I wrote that song and it's really good. But this song is just fun and people love it. So, yeah.
I mean, you just mentioned the first cut is the deepest. And I know actually here in Greece, because I'm in Greece, because I want to mention that again.
It was huge in Greece.
I know. And the weird thing is I went out with a friend of mine, Manos, the other night, and I mentioned that I was going to be talking to you. And he went, he'd met you. You must have come here and he'd met you when you came to Greece. So he said, oh, yeah, he's a brilliant guy. He's just brilliant. Greece still loves you. That's what I wanted to say.
Greece, it was huge. It was like top three or top five. I was working with the US band, Brooklyn Funk Essentials, at the time. So I was doing, I could have been much, much more established in Greece, like as a person. Because I'm not, the song is huge. I'm not really, some people know me and I perform there, but as a person, I never really got in, because I was touring in the States with Brooklyn Funk Essentials. And if I would have done proper promotion and television while the song was top five, I could have been down there with you in Greece, in a big house.
Exactly, with a better view.
but it's there somewhere.
So what is your favorite version of First Cut is the Deepest? Because there's so many versions that have been made over the years, and P.P. Arnold had an amazing version in 1967.
Yeah, I mean, that is the original, because Cat Stevens released his cut, which was like a demo for Island Records, I think. And he released that afterwards, but he, you know, the first... I love P.P. Arnold, but I must say, I really think the 70s with Rod Stewart is one of my favorites, even though he sings the wrong lyrics. He actually does. I'm like, yeah. I love the reggae version. That's where I got the idea. The Studio One reggae version. Norma Frazier. Marsha Griffiths did a reggae version as well. So... I listened to all those versions, and it's just a beautiful song.
Who's the first woman or girl that broke your heart?
Ooh, that must have been in Swedish high school. I'm not going to say her name.
Sounds like it's more than one when you say Swedish high school. It's like the whole high school.
I was a bit shy, and my heart was easily broken. And I was, you know, I was 17, 18 years old. There were a few cuts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So let's get on to Rob and Raz, because they've been important in your career, and you chosen one. Why did you choose that?
It was basically my first single. I released one single on Telegram Records. That didn't really do anything. It was more kind of like a hype and in the industry kind of thing, and hype up in Stockholm. This song got airplay on the radio, on national radio. And I remember I was working down, I was working down in the basement of a hardware store, or what do you say, ironmonger? What's the UK thing? Okay. So I was working there in the basement, and I heard my song on the radio, and that was just, that was the first time I heard my solo stuff on the radio. I think it's a great song. I think it still sounds really good. We were really early with the soul to soul beat. I think we listened to, what is the Bismarck Key used it for some song, but that was before soul to soul started with the whole, you know, with those singles. So we were, it was rough. It sounded really good on the dance floor. I was trying to sound tough, and it's a cool track. It's a good memory, and it still sounds good on the dance floor. I don't know about my vocals, but I sound like a young kid really trying to be tough, and it's kind of cute.
You're still connected to Raz, aren't you?
Oh yeah, he lives not too far away. We actually did a song just before the pandemic in 2020 called Old School, and it really sounds like the sound from those early days, like from 1989, 1990. And, you know, it didn't really do that much, but it was a good track. It was a good track. It's called Old School. DJ Raz and Papa D, yeah. You know, we hang out as well. He lives in a really cool house, and it's got a really beautiful studio. So I go there and hang out quite a lot. It's good.
Okay, the last track that was on your list was Open Up Your Eyes. Mm-hmm. And this is Papa D Meets First Light. So tell me about that.
It's a no-compromise, rootsy reggae track. I don't know. It's just, sometimes I just feel really liberated. I mean, I really didn't enjoy parts of the beginning of my career. We always made music. We just made music. I don't know what we, sometimes I just like, how were we thinking in those early days? We sampled a lot of stuff. We did beats. We just came up with stuff. We were out clubbing, influenced by loads of stuff. But there was no plan. It just happened, which is beautiful. Then around mid-90s, around, you know, big labels, I remember they wanted to change my name to Daniel. They said, your hair, you should have it out more because it looks more Milli Vanilli-ish, and I have long hair then. I didn't like that, and everybody was trying to like, well, listen to this in the charts now. It sounds like this. You should have a song like that, and I really hated that, and I remember being kind of lost. So the pop album is okay, single-wise. There's three or four good tracks on that album, but I remember we couldn't really do the 10th track. We ran out of ideas, and I was just kind of, I didn't have anything to add because it was just so pressure from everywhere and ideas from everywhere. So anyway, so this, I had a reggae album before called Fall From Grace, but first of all, the band First Light is an amazing roots reggae band, like classic. You don't get bands like that nowadays because, you know, it's like three horns, two keyboards, two guitars. It's an amazing classic lineup, and they have a very particular sound, and they're really proud of it. They're really strict about, you know, their kind of music and how they perform live. Like, they don't want to perform my pop songs. Like, when I play with them live, I play at the big reggae festivals, and we play certain reggae venues, but they're like, no, we can't do a version of First Cut Is the Deepest or Island Rock. That's not us. And I really like that. I respect that. I think it's really cool. So it was amazing to make an album with them. You know, we're actually making a second album, Showcase Volume 2. Really bad. Lack of ideas. No, we're going to add the title as well. So, I remember David Rodigan played a couple of tracks on English radio, and he was like, oh, because it's a reggae thing. Showcase is five songs and a dub. And it's kind of a boring concept, but for us, it's kind of like, yeah, Showcase Volume 1, hinting on a Volume 2. So David Rodigan was like, yeah, except for the album title, this is a really good, blah, blah, blah. So we're making a second one. So this song, I kind of like it because it's also, I wrote it with a Finnish friend of mine for another project that never came out. It's a really positive song. I was in a positive mood after a really bad time I had in my life. And I think it's spiritual without being hippie. It's just kind of like, you know, do your mind, you know. I have a problem with kind of when things get a bit too hippie-ish. And like, oh, spiritual, ooh, look at my different stones that I get energy. No, you know, I'm into all that, but I think you, it has to be cool and grounded as well. So I just really like the track. I enjoy singing it. You know, I enjoy singing it, and I see people, even people that never heard it before, get into it really quick.
So listen, I mean, you've gone through five songs. I'm going to ask you to choose one as what you feel is your favorite song. It's really difficult, but I really want you to do that. And before I do that, I just want to mention a few tracks that you've missed out, or you've left out, let's put it that way, that I don't know, that sort of tracks that have touched me as well. And one of them is Children of Sisyphus, which I really like, which is an amazing track. Lying Backstabbing Woman, which I think has got so much emotional depth in it, and we know why, and that's on another interview. You missed out one, which was with Tatio, which was My Body Says Yes. Why did you miss that out? That you don't want to sort of, they're not on the list because in a way they're the noose around your neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I've done quite a few songs, so it's really how I feel that particular day. And some songs are like, Lying Backstabbing Woman, there's a lot of therapy that went into that song. And I did it live for a long time and it felt good. Now I might just not be in the mood to, because it's kind of like I got it out. And now I'm kind of not into it at the moment. I still think it's a great song. I think it's very direct and it's very heartfelt. My Body Says Yes, it's a bit weird because that's a bit irritating. It's annoying because we had Clive Davis. The song had a bullet on it. You know, it was climbing. It was like top 30 or top 40. Something happened. Titio and her crew, there was something about, they weren't really behind the song at the moment, so they just kind of delayed making the video. And Arista US was like, what, are you not doing what Clive is telling you? And so the whole thing just kind of fizzled out. So, and that was my launch into, because it was like, oh, I'm going to be on that song with Tio. I was featured on like just like a short, you know, I did some chatting, eight bars or something, but it was still like a little prominent. And they were going to launch me into the whole thing. Eventually, we did the video after they stalling it. I don't know why, it's, you know, that's your interview with them. And then everything just fizzled out. So for me, it's just kind of, yeah, that was a great opportunity. Ha ha. But it just didn't happen. And if, apart from that, it was a cool. We worked together, me and Tio, and we worked live. It was a beautiful time, and we were kind of like bursting out on the scene together. You know, we were hanging a lot in London, and you know, her and Nene and the family. It was a beautiful time. So the song My Body Says Yes had a lot of hope and good energy, and then they just kind of like fizzled out. It was just sad. So for me, it's not a song that I would pick because it makes me slightly annoyed.
Okay, your top five were Open Up Your Eyes, Chosen One, First Cut Is the Deepest, Island Rock, and Respect View. So ooh, if you had to choose one, what would you choose?
That's really difficult. It's like all these lists I was telling you about.
Now, don't go away. I just want to say to you, please subscribe, because you'll hear directly when I post something new on the channel. And it does help me as well. So it would be really great if you do. Now, stay tuned. Here comes Papa D's all-time favorite track.
I would say, I think Open Up Your Eyes, because it's a strong song and it's kind of where I'm at now. The other stuff is nostalgia and great memories, but this is a very now song. And I'm also making an album with the guys again, which is great sound. I love it. We're just putting horns on and then we're mixing it. So it's going to be out in like April, May. Yeah, I would say Open Up Your Heart. It's a positive song. Spiritual, positive, without being hippie-ish. And it's where I'm at now.
Brilliant. Daniel Papadi, thanks very much.
Thank you so much. And please try and have a good time in Greece. Just try. Think of me.
Yeah, it just got better. Okay, listen, I'll see you again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
Up there is an interview I recommend. Down there is where you can find all the podcast interviews. And here is where you can connect.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.